Welcome to the Mitch Hanks Show, originating four blocks from Wisconsin's capital. Mitch is the radio voice of uncommon sense. All sides of an argument are welcome here. Just be prepared to make one, as Mitch argues for truth, not victory. Politics, lifestyle, pop culture are all on the table. So get ready to participate on the Mitch Hanks Show.
Oh, let's jump right into the mix tonight on the Mitch Hanks Show here on MadisonTalks.com and Facebook Live. We've got Phil Anderson, Libertarian candidate for governor, coming in here at 6. Clean Care got police, I guess, after him in Fitchburg. I want to find out what's going on there as he spoke at a Fitchburg City Council meeting, and apparently the mayor says the mayor had the cops come. We'll find that out. And also Tim Graham, who weighs in on this whole media coverage of Roy Moore. I want to start with Roy Moore. The Roy Moore stuff. I know it's not local, but it's pretty juicy stuff. I mean, this guy in Alabama, former judge, federal judge, he lost that seat when they defied the Supreme Court and everything else. But now he's running for U.S. Senate. He won the primary against the establishment candidates and Luther Strange and Mo Brooks, two of the senator and the congressman. And he's getting a little bit wacky. I mean, he kind of stood for biblical principles and all this, according to his interpretation. He said things like gay activity or homosexual activity should be a crime and all this. But, you know, the guy, he was winning in the polls. And now five women have come out and accused him of sexual misconduct, actually two for illegality, for assault. And one says she was 14 at the time and he touched her in bad ways. And now we have a fifth accuser who says he touched her in inappropriate or illegal ways when she was 16. Now, three of the girls, I should say girls then, accusers were simply of legal age, but claimed that he hit on him and took him on dates and took him for rides and all this stuff. I mean, now there's coverage in the New Yorker about how this mall cop who was off the record said Roy was on this watch list at the mall because he used to come and hit on the teenage employees. I don't mean to laugh. You can't make this stuff up. And then we had, more stuff. A former assistant DA said, we all knew that Roy liked to date the high school girls. Now, Roy, when he allegedly was dating the high school girls, was 32. Now, you can say, and I heard Rush a little bit today, Rush Limbaugh, a little bit in the car, and the conservative media, they're saying it's a witch hunt and it's all this and it's a lynch mob. But let's listen to the fifth accuser here. She really seemed legit. I mean, it's the Moore accuser, the fifth one, who claims he touched her inappropriately when she was 16 back in 1977. Here we go.
Mr. Moore reached over and began groping me and putting his hands on my breasts. He began squeezing my neck, attempting to force my head onto his crotch. I was terrified. He was also trying to pull my shirt off. I thought that he was going to rape me. He said, "You're just a child." And he said, "I am the district attorney of Etowah County. And if you tell anyone about this, no one will ever believe you."
So that's an accuser, and she was crying. And, of course, Gloria Allred was with her, who's a famous celebrity lawyer of female accusers and worked with some women who accused Herman Cain back 4 years ago. I got to tell you, I have no reason not to believe the woman and not to believe the women. Now, you're going to yell at me, and you're going to be on Facebook. Look, if you on the far right want to believe Bill Clinton's accusers, which I do, I interviewed Kathleen Willey. Kathleen Willey said on my show that Bill had groped her aggressively by a fireplace in a White House parlor. And, of course, we know about Juanita Broderick accused Bill of raping her in 1978. If we're going to believe the women who accused Bill, then don't you have to believe the women that accused Roy Moore? You say, where did these accusations come from? Well, first of all, you had Post reporters, I know the Post. Well, yeah, they're a liberal paper, a conservative paper. But you had reporters snooping around down there, and there was talk, and these stories come out, and these women come forward. Now, obviously, if you're a teenage girl in the 70s, you're not going to come out against Roy Moore, who was at the time the DA. He's 32. I mean, he's a powerful man. I mean, you're scared. You're intimidated. And one of the reasons why you don't come out, obviously, is because you put your name in there, and they're going to smear you. And, you know, let's face it, it's part of the deal from the day one, from the beginning of time. Now we find out there's rampant, according to one congresswoman from California, rampant sexual harassment in Congress. She was accusing one member of exposing his private parts to somebody. And, you know, they have this antiquated system. If there's a complaint, it has to be kept confidential, and the alleged victim doesn't get counsel. I mean, it's just incredible. So we're in this wave now of lecherous predator men being called out, whether it's Harvey Weinstein. Oh, Harvey Weinstein was a big change in the deal, because for a long time, nobody cared about Bill Clinton because, I mean, Joey Behar called his accusers tramps. My own sister said during the campaign that she didn't blame Hillary for trying to smear them, trying to save the marriage. I mean, that part of the marriage hasn't been intact for decades. But I'll tell you, you know, if you're going to take the view that you don't believe accusers when they accuse your side, and you do believe the accusers when they accuse the other side, what is that? I mean, come on. I know you can smear somebody and so forth, but five different women. Now, according to the Post story, there are all kinds of people that corroborated the fact that the women told them about it when it happened and yada, yada. I mean, you know, just because a paper is liberal or conservative doesn't mean the story isn't correct. I mean, you can have a correct story just because the editorial bias is one way or the other. I mean, let's face it. We see that all the time. People just discount papers because it comes from a liberal or conservative paper. All I'm saying is this guy. All right, here's the deal. Now, when Sean Hannity interviewed him, and this is too long, we have some of that sound. We can try to get to it as we go on during the show. But Sean Hannity had Roy Moore on before the fifth accuser. And at that point, it was just one accuser who said that he touched her inappropriately when she was 14. And we had three more accusers who said they were of legal age, but teenagers, when Roy apparently hit on him or took him on dates. Now, Roy denied all this stuff. But my point is, when Sean said, did you date teenage girls when you were in your 30s? He said, not as a rule, not as a general rule. And by the way, I don't remember dating any girls without permission from their mother. Now, I'm sorry, folks. You know, time out, throw a penalty flag. If you're 32, do you need to get permission from somebody's mother to take them on a date? Because if you do, then that girl is far too young for you to be taking on a date. Somebody call me up and tell me I'm wrong on this. Or it's a media witch hunt, or what do you want to say? 210-1667, 210-1667, area code 608. I mean, come on! When I was 20. I got a job in TV, sports, in South Bend when I was like 22, that young, out of school. I had one radio job, and then I got the TV job, sports. The CBS affiliate in South Bend, and I must have been 23 or 4 or something, and this intern was 21. I was probably 23, and she was 21. And I did take her out on some dates, and we had a little relationship, but she was like 21. I was 23.
That's okay.
I mean, is that okay? Because at that time, I was 120 pounds lighter, and I had these 36-year-old female producers hitting on me. I don't want to, you know. But, I mean, it got to be a little creepy in certain cases, you know.
It's a role reversal, huh?
I mean, there was a role reversal going on. I mean, imagine this mug with 120 pounds less. Anyway, so, you know, but I didn't hit on I wasn't. I've seen people, but you don't hit on these teenage girls when you're. The woman I went out with, she was an intern. She was in college. She was over. She was 20 or more. But if you're 32, you don't date girls, teenage girls.
17-year-olds, yeah.
You don't do it. Now, I know in Alabama, 16 is the age, I guess, and, you know, I guess he did nothing wrong legally in dating 16-year-old girls, but come on. No, Frank Zadra married Mia Farrow, but Frank was 50 and Mia was 21.
Right.
Granted, Mia was probably a year older than his daughters, but still, he was Frank and she was 21. But come on, I mean, you know, call me nutty, call me crazy here. Now, some of you say this was a total witch hunt. Do we have some Roy Moore? No, not quite yet, no. We're still, it was a long interview with Sean. What we can do is kind of, at some point, we'll break into that and kind of stop and start it. But, you know, you tell me, based on the answers he was giving to Sean Hannity, if that bothers you. Now, you're going to say, well, he's anti-establishment, and the establishment wants to get rid of him. Keep in mind that, remember Bob Packwood? Now, you don't remember, but Bob Packwood was the U.S. Senator from Oregon 28-some years ago and beyond. And he had this weird reputation, and stories were getting out that he was kissing all these different women staffers, his own staffers and other people's staffers, and he was kissing them. He was like a serial kisser. You know, he denied it for a while and blamed the press. And then all of a sudden, he just got too bad. And they finally said, you're out of here. They expelled him or censored him and all that stuff. And the person leading the charge to get rid of him was none other than Mitch McConnell of Kentucky. And we could play the McConnell bite, couldn't we? But, I mean, they're asking, well, do you want to expel him? Because he could win the election and then get expelled. You know, and then the governor of Alabama appoints an interim senator, and they have another election and so forth. So, but that would anger the Roy Moore base. But I'm sorry, but when you start, when it becomes known that you were dating teenage girls or you, God forbid, sexually assaulted them when they were teenagers, that's pretty unseemly stuff, even for hardcore Republican supporters of Roy Moore. Then you say, well, how come these people didn't come out before this, a month before the election? Well, I mean, when Bill Clinton ran in 92, I mean, Jennifer Flowers came out the year he ran, right? I mean, did Jennifer come out publicly during the 80s when she was having the affair with Bill? I don't think so. Bill finally admitted in his deposition that he had an affair with Jennifer Flowers, which he had denied the entire campaign. And part of the, boy, I popped a pee on that, didn't I, Mike? Part of the saga here is that conservatives are now saying, well, Bill Clinton did this. Nobody cared. I mean, there was no million woman march against Bill Clinton. Well, Bill was a Democrat. He wasn't seen on tape, you know, saying he grabbed women by the, you know what, as we saw with the Billy Bush tape, the Access Hollywood tape. So Bill always did his stuff in private. And so that could have been part of it. Also the fact that he was a Democrat. But Teddy Kennedy, a champion of women's issues. I mean, there are all kinds of stories. You read the book, The Senator? I mean, Teddy was a bad boy. I used to have those waitress sandwiches with Chris Dodd. That's a grisly image, by the way. I mean, I can't imagine. Well, Chris Dodd, I see him in Washington, the Dubliner, sloshed, talking to young staffers. I mean, he was kind of a dirty old man. They're boasting stuff. Oh, they want us to pay for more here. Huh, I might do it. So give us a call. We've got Tim Graham coming up. I'll ask him about Roy Moore, about the Axios story that said Facebook and social media and Newt Gingrich and Fox News are ruining journalism. So the Media Research Center is reacting to that, as you can imagine. That's ahead. Glenn Grothman, we'll ask him about his votes on tax reform. He wants to crack down on the Department of Labor for sloth, he said. Or OSHA. Sorry, OSHA. Here's my college roommate. Want to talk to him? No. Come back with more and your calls. The Mitch Hanks Show on MadisonTalks.com and Facebook Live.
At Troy Research, we understand that success is determined by your customers. To realize the greatest success possible, you need to understand what they want and why. Your customers have opinions to share with you. As researchers, our assignment is to gather those opinions, illuminate the issues, and shed the light of understanding on decision-making. Where can good research take your business? Call or email to talk about it. Troy Research at 608-271-8884 or email jlittle@troyresearch.com.
When it comes to telephone on-hold advertising, some commonly asked questions are, why do we need an on-hold message? How do we write a script? How long should the message be? How does the message get played? How much does it cost? I'm Bob of Abella Creative Services, and a telephone on-hold message speaks directly to your target audience while they're on hold with your company. Continuously advertises only your business without the clutter of competitive ads and for just a fraction of conventional advertising costs. At Bob Abella Creative Services, we'll help you draft a well-written script, provide the appropriate announcer, music, or sound effects, and the studio time and expertise to put it all together. We'll also provide you with any special equipment you might need to play your on-hold message. Even though we probably have more experience than most other on-hold message companies, we'll cost you less. Let Bob Abella Creative Services stretch your advertising dollar with an on-hold message that provides your customers with real, actionable solutions to their problems. Bob Abella Creative Services gets results. Just send us an email at bacsgetsresults@gmail.com. That's bacsgetsresults@gmail.com.
Talk radio will never be the same. The uncommon sense of Mitch Hank has been unleashed worldwide. This is the all-new Mitch Hank Show.
As life celebrations bring people together, you'll be comforted knowing we have community rooms available for those who wish to serve food and refreshments before, during, or after your gathering. This is Pete Gunderson. We're here to assist with every detail. Learn more at GundersonFH.com. Gunderson Funeral and Cremation Care, your hometown life celebration center.
Gunderson Funeral Home.
Welcome back to the Mitch Hank Show. Mitch seeks the truth by inviting all sides of the issue. Thanks for listening to the Mitch Hank Show.
We are back running into the machine guns tonight. Talking about Ray Moore. We got callers. We also have Tim Graham, the Media Research Center, newsbusters.org, the pride of Viroqua, Wisconsin, joining us for a segment. Hello, Mr. Graham.
Hello.
You know, we're talking about Ray Moore, and I got to tell you, there's never a dull moment on this stuff, man. It's so hot. It's far more exciting than Fernwood Tonight ever was with Martin Mull. I'll tell you that right now. But here we are. Obscure reference, obviously.
Yes.
But now the Axios report, I think, got you guys fired up. You know, this contention that Fox and Newt and social media ruining journalism, and that kind of got your back up a little bit.
It does.
Yeah. So go ahead and tell me why that's messed up.
Well, the title of their newsletter was How American Politics Went Bat.
Right.
Bono,
bad
crazy.
Blank, yeah, right.
And their reasons are all basically that conservatives got more media power, you know. Speaker Gingrich was elected, and his rhetoric somehow ruined the country.
Stirred things
up,
yeah.
And then Fox News was founded in 96, which also started to ruin the country.
Mm-hmm.
And then John McCain named Sarah Palin his running mate, which ruined the country.
Yeah.
You know, and you just, this is where you read stuff like this and you just say, okay, first of all, if you're really going to address the academic question, how did our politics become more divisive? You don't start in 1994 or 1996. Why don't you start in 1968 or something?
Or 64 at least, where you know the
right.
GOP was split.
Well, yeah, if you're Oliver Stone, you started on November 22, 1963.
Well, that's a sore point for me. I go dark on that. But, you know, I know what you're saying. I mean, but we've had splits. I mean, come on. I mean, FDR had four VPs. I mean, he got rid of Henry Wallace because he was a socialist. And, you know, and we had all kinds of trouble. I mean, back in the early 20th century, we had the big socialist movement. And we had the muckrakers. We, and we've had problems all along with divisions. You know, the Klan was the military wing of the Democratic Party until the 40s, or, you know, whatever the case, or 50s. So, come on. I mean, there's nothing new here, right? Is that your essential point?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's just, again, certainly you would say that that Vietnam and Watergate were very divisive. And mm-hmm, you can mm-hmm. even say those were good things for the country, if you want to say that.
What's
I
that?
Wouldn't.
Why, because of the division?
Meaning that you know, fighting the Vietnam War and getting Nixon half impeached were good things, if you want to say that. But you can't say, you know, American politics wasn't divided until Newt Gingrich. I mean, this is the kind of thing where you can't believe these people would write this, let alone believe it.
You should be running the Billy Joel song, "We Didn't Start the Fire," Tim. That would be the perfect song for your argument here. I just want to sing it.
My whole point was basically that the rise of the counterculture,
yeah,
and the radical left spurred the election of Reagan and the development of a conservative wing in the Republican Party.
Right.
And instead you know, but somehow to these Axios goofballs, it started in '94.
No, they don't know history. They're too young, Tim. That's the problem. They're not old like us.
My point was. No, Jim VandeHei was born in Oshkosh in 1971. He is old enough to get this right.
Well, he is, but, you know, I was born 10 years earlier than him, than he. Well, here's the point. I mean, Reagan, I remember when Reagan was running, and our senator in Indiana was Birch Bayh, and he's running against a young Dan Quayle, and McGovern, and Church, and all these people that lost McGovern. Who's the other one I missed?
Frank Culver.
Yeah. So, in other words,
and,
the moral
Magnuson and Washington State.
Yeah, the moral majority was a big deal. There was a social conservative revolt, and that was part of Ronald Reagan's insurgency against the establishment. So, yeah, there's no question that would have been a pushback against the liberals, I suppose. But you know, haven't we had that though? I mean, Goldwater was kind of. He was reacting against liberalism, wasn't he? I mean, and of course, he was defeated, but I mean, he spawned a movement which led to Reagan. I mean, you know, you can talk all the. But let's get to the chase, though, Tim. What I see with Roy Moore is I see conservatives saying, "What about Bill Clinton?" And I have liberals saying, "What about Roy Moore? What about, you know, Roger Ailes or Bill O'Reilly?" In other words, we only point out sexual harassers on the other side, the other team. Because if it's against our side, it's a witch hunt. It's a lynching. Isn't that the truth?
I think we need to define our terms. And I think that people misunderstand. I think part of what we said early on when the Roy Moore story first broke, as you would say, the timing is odd. Why would the Washington Post suddenly publish the story at the time it did when there was no recourse to remove Moore from the ballot?
Right.
And I think it is fair on people like me who don't like the Washington Post, who think it's a Democratic Party house organ, would say it's quite possible that they've had this story locked down for 3 months and waited. I think they can deny that that's the case. But
it's possible.
You know, the timing
is possibly contrived, but the authenticity of the female accusers is a different story.
Okay, so here's my point. Yes, I am certainly not someone who is in the camp that said that this. I don't think these stories are reliable. I'm not saying any of that, and I think that obviously Roy Moore didn't care enough about the Republican Party in Alabama to say, you know what, I'm probably not the best material for this Senate seat. I'm not exactly up to the moral fiber of Jeff Sessions. But my point is simply, it is fair for conservatives to argue that the news media, you know, do this to Republicans because they love causing this kind of Republican dyspepsia.
Well, there's no question about it
yeah.
in terms of the glee there. But my point is, if you're going to believe Juanita Broderick and Kathleen Willey and people all the way back to Oxford, frankly, then you got to believe the women, at least some, if not all the women here.
Well, this is the key, and that is that, yes, what I'm saying, what I would say to you is, what we get accused of whataboutism. Well,
we're not
trying to distract from Roy Moore at this point. We're trying to say, let's put it this way, what Roy Moore is accused of here is not as bad as Bill Clinton being accused of raping Juanita Broderick. It's not as bad. I'm not saying it makes him a saint, but I'm saying... And it's the same thing where we would say,
right? But you know,
the liberals today would try to say that Roy Moore does not have the moral fiber to serve in the U.S. Senate. To which the conservatives reply, Ted Kennedy let a woman drown in his car without reporting it to the police and got to serve in the Senate for another 40 years.
Yes, that is true.
So we're just basically trying to say. The liberal media does not live by a single standard, and if we could
that argument can be made, Tim. But then ultimately, you're saying it's okay if Roy Moore touches the 14-year-old girl in the crotch because Ted Kennedy killed a woman at Chappaquiddick. I mean, if that's going to be your argument,
I'm not saying that.
Okay, well,
I'm saying the liberal media had a double standard. So
when
Ted Kennedy died, Andrea Mitchell talked about it rained today. That was heaven crying for Ted Kennedy. So what I'm saying is simply, and I think we've been seeing this from, you know, we started with Anita Hill in 91, and then certainly at the beginning with Paula Jones in 94, and as the news media have a dramatic partisan double standard on these matters, which is especially bad for them because they are the feminists. They are the ones who are supposed to be against sexual harassment in the workplace.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm against sexual harassment in the workplace, too. But
yes.
All I'm saying is we're drawing attention to the double standard in the media, which is what we always do.
Oh, so I understand.
Don't accuse us of whataboutism. This is what we do.
I understand. Well, this kind of reminds me in a kind of a perverted way of the argument I've heard from female family members. I pointed out the female status because it, you know, it deals with a very intensive female issue more than male. And they'll say, well, Republicans, they don't want to fund Head Start, but then they're against abortion. And so you basically say, so you're saying you can perform abortions in some cases, latter term ones, in a grisly fashion because Republicans don't fully fund Head Start. Is that your point? And then they recoil at that. Oh, no, no, I didn't say that. You know, you go down this road all day long. And, you know, it's fine to point out double standards because there was no million woman march against Bill Clinton. And all I've heard on that is, well, he never talked about it. He never did a Billy Bush tape, you know, whatever. But, I mean, Bill must have done his stuff, and he was riding dirty in private. I guess we don't remember Bill saying stuff in public, do we? I mean, is that the only difference? I mean, I don't know if he said stuff. He used to do dirty jokes with Vernon Jordan while playing golf at Martha's Vineyard, but there was no mic on at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that the key here is that, yes, a conservative Christian in America would say that Roy Moore doesn't deserve the office and that Roy Moore, as someone who made his reputation on insisting on keeping the Ten Commandments in the courthouse,
mm-hmm.
ought to actually live by them. And when he shows himself to not live by them, at least by my rigid Catholic interpretation of what the adultery commandment means, you know, it's like he deserves to be condemned by Christian conservatives and should be.
I don't think he was committing adultery. How does adultery weigh into this? He was single at the time, wasn't he?
No, I'm just simply saying that.
Oh, I know.
That sexual passes at teenagers, in my book.
Yeah, yeah.
That's premarital sex.
Unless you're, you know, at a kegger and you're also a teenager and you're on a hayride, which we didn't even, you know, we were always it's first base on the hayride, so we get
well, and so. There is no question that for many of us, the you know, we were already uncomfortable sounding defensive about Roy Moore. And then he goes on Hannity and says, did you date teenagers? Well, I asked their mothers first.
not as a general rule. I mean, that was a killer. Not as a general rule. I mean, come on, Roy.
Only on Thursdays.
You're 32 years old at the time. And then you get their mother's permission. No, that's not a good sign, Roy.
Yeesh.
Well, I like the New Yorker story. They were quoting the unnamed mall cop who said, yeah, well, Roy was on the list, and then we have the other stuff about the assistant DA. We all knew that Roy liked to date teenage girls and high school girls, you know. But, I mean, you know, it's kind of building up, but, you know, it really is a freak show at this point.
Now, the other thing I would say, Mitch, to try to sound generous, is that what the Harvey Weinstein case proved was that the New York Times was going to say the investigative reporting we did on Bill O'Reilly, we can also do to a powerful man who's, you know, a major Democratic fundraiser and muckety-muck.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And the New Yorker doing pieces on Harvey.
I know, but I say a pig's
and
a...
We are headed toward a moment where we're really trying to hold both sides to the same standard. I support that.
Yeah. Well, I say a pig is a pig, my friend, so...
Yeah.
I believe Juanita Broderick, and I hate to say it, but I believe the women here, at least the last one I saw. I mean,
And I don't always believe the women, Mitch, because I did not believe Anita Hill. And even if you did believe Anita Hill, talking about Long Dong Silver would be creepy but not illegal.
Right. She seemed pretty sincere to me at the time, but who knows?
It's also true if you read David Brock back when David Brock was playing conservative, that she was not sweet Polly Purebred, you know, who couldn't handle a little, talk about sex.
Well, you know, my mind is open on that. I remember Tim Phelps also wrote, didn't he, that the judge would go into the porn shop and they say, well, the judge was there all the time. So, you know, there's...
Well, all I know is, what I like to say about St. Anita is, she said, well, I'm not doing this for my own benefit. She got a $1 million book deal and a professor's job at Brandeis.
Right. That's all true, but I still don't, that doesn't necessarily discount her claims just because.
No, but, you know, again, if we mention the double standard.
No, you're right. There is a double standard, but I say a pig is a pig.
There you go. So there we can agree on that.
Tim Graham.
Sometimes evidence matters.
I know. Thank God I'm too old and, you know, it doesn't matter. Well, I never did that, even when I was a teen. Oh, never mind. Media Research Center, newsbusters.org. We thank you, sir.
You bet.
Take care. Come back, Congressman Glenn Grothman on The Mitch Hanks Show on MadisonTalks.com and Facebook Live.
Two Bridges was one of the toughest neighborhoods in New York, especially in the Al Smith projects. It was a no man's land with no rules. On Christmas Eve 1951, Mac Pastamadeo vanished without a trace while walking home with his little boy Angelo. Now 13, Angelo is a gang member and the only witness to the brutal murder of an undercover cop who holds a clue to Mac's disappearance 6 years ago. Stalked by killers, Angelo becomes part of an unlikely alliance of a priest, a mob boss, and a police detective in order to uncover the truth behind the murder and Mac's disappearance. Weepers by Nick Chiarkas.
If you operate a business, you know there is no one-size-fits-all solution for today's technology challenges. MadisonGeeks.com plans, services, and installs technologies for small and medium businesses like network systems, servers, firewalls, wireless access points, telecommunications, security, remote service options, and business productivity solutions. MadisonGeeks.com is your IT staff. They take time to sit down to discuss your needs and present cost-effective solutions. With a Better Business Bureau A+ rating, they are your trusted IT outsource partner. Expect less downtime. Faster resolutions lead to more productivity. Fewer day-to-day issues. Their proactive maintenance helps prevent issues from occurring. MadisonGeeks.com also offers computer and laptop service and repair. Madison Geeks are there to help. They're known for their candid, friendly approach and reliable, ready response. Check them out online at MadisonGeeks.com.
The all-new Mitch Hanks Show would like to thank our sponsors. We're grateful for their support of the all-new Mitch Hanks Show.
Mitch Hanks for Atterbury Cameron Haig.
I'm proud to be sitting next to senior partner and a man who's been voted Wisconsin's super lawyer multiple times, Eric Haig. Eric, is it true you've never taken a check from a client in 20 years?
We only get paid if we win, and 20 years of practicing law, I've never had a client to have to pay me for their time.
You don't take every case. Quality over quantity?
Some of the bigger firms that do a lot of advertising are trying to take in as many cases as they can, as fast as they can. We actually reject more cases than we accept. We're trying to take a case where we can give it the time it deserves to be properly managed and litigated to get it ready for trial. Once you get beyond that number, the quality can suffer. So we're looking to provide high-quality legal service, and it's not about the numbers. We want to do those cases that we do have right.
So when you need a lawyer, do what I did. Call Atterbury, Cameron, Haig and reach them at yourwisconsininjurylawyers.com. That's yourwisconsininjurylawyers.com. Need a comedian or MC for your private party or corporate event? Don't be shy. I can do it without telling any dirty jokes. In fact, when I'm not doing my Frank Sinatra tribute show, I've done stand-up at the comedy club and at private events for years. Whether it's a large convention or private gathering in your living room, I've done it. We all need to laugh more. The world can be even more stressful than it is. There's no business like show business, and I usually find those of you who have the best jokes about your coworkers at the company dinner. So feel free to contact me at 347-0374. That's 347-0374. Email at info@madisontalks.com. That's info@madisontalks.com.
Welcome to the Mitch Hanks Show, originating four blocks from Wisconsin's capital. Mitch is the radio voice of uncommon sense. All sides of an argument are welcome here. Just be prepared to make one, as Mitch argues for truth, not victory. Politics, lifestyle, pop culture are all on the table. So get ready to participate on the Mitch Hanks Show.
Congressman Glenn Grothman, originally from West Bend, although I have no idea if that's in his current district. Hello, Congressman.
Mitch, how are you doing?
I'm doing well.
Glenn Beulah, Wisconsin.
Well, that's where your voting address is now?
Correct.
So West Bend is not in your district, is that right?
No, so it is not.
You had to move.
West Bend.
You had to move.
Right. Had to move, right.
Now, I know you've got a number of things here. You want to deal with employment definitions. Yeah, you've got that going on. OSHA, sloth, right? But, you know, we're breaking news, Congressman. I don't know if you heard this, but Wall Street Journal, Ron Johnson, your own friendly senator, is not going to vote for the tax package. Have you heard that yet? It's breaking.
That's what I understand. Well, I know he wasn't very happy with it, and it's frustrating being a congressman that agree to which things kind of are pretty something so complicated as overhauling the whole tax code are giving you not at the last second, but kind of really you haven't seen much until 2 weeks out. And it doesn't give you a lot of time to consult with all the different people. And it's frustrating. And I think the one thing that got Ron the maddest, as I understand it, is they're taxing what you call pass-throughs, which for those of you who aren't familiar with business, things like partnerships or LLCs at a different tax rate than what they call a C-corporation, which are frequently what, not always, but frequently bigger corporations that are owned with tons of shareholders.
Right. Well, I've got an LLC. You're talking to somebody that owns this LLC with partners, and I'm going to talk to my accountant about this because, you know, I may be screwed as well. I don't know what they're doing. I can't just lower it, make it simpler, bring the money back from offshore. I mean, they could throw in some goodies for the middle class, do a refundable tax credit or do something, make it cut.
Well,
go ahead.
I think in general, we've got a tax cut for the vast majority of individuals here. And if your average income, say under $100,000, it's hard to imagine the type of tax return that you're not getting a cut on. I think the only people who I believe, and we haven't had time to run all sorts of hypotheticals, are getting a raise, an increased tax, are well-compensated people who don't own their own business. I would bet, and maybe I'll be proven wrong, that a high number of congressmen are going to pay more tax in this bill because we get a good income, a good salary, but we don't get we don't own businesses.
Right.
So, I think with regard to the difference between C corporations and pass-throughs, pass-throughs are also getting a reduction in the rate, just not much as C corps. There are a lot of other benefits of being a pass-through than a C corp, and I think everybody will benefit by the improved economy. The whole goal behind the tax cut, in addition to letting Americans keep more of their hard-earned money, is to make us more competitive abroad. And right now, when your corporate rate is much higher than other corporate rates, that's bad.
No, I actually agree on that. It's all about pro-growth for me. You know, if you can grow the economy by a point, you bring in all kinds of revenue. I know that sounds like Arthur Laffer, but, you know, let's face it. When Kennedy did it, actually Johnson signed Kennedy's bill. But you had Reagan. You had, you know, you had, what, 4% growth under Reagan from the time the tax bill passed to the end of his administration, right? Average of 4% growth. You raise taxes too. I know, back in 82, TEFRA, we can be technical about it, but the point of it is he had some growth. And Kennedy had growth. He had guns and butter during the war. That's what Johnson was able to fight the war and do his social programs because they had more revenue from the Kennedy tax cuts. So let's face it, and that's what happened.
Absolutely.
Now, you want to talk about OSHA? You were grilling some OSHA people? They're wasting money? Is that it?
Oh, I don't know. We talked to the Secretary of Labor today. That must be what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, we talked about problems with OSHA. You know, they nitpick people. And sometimes they release fines without an advance notice. They make some company who did a minor thing look like there's some bunch of scoff laws. So we talked a little bit about that today with the head of the Department of Labor.
All right.
But the main focus here is taxes. And
All right. Well, I mean, what's the deal? I mean, you're going to pass it or what?
It's going to pass tomorrow. It's always dicier in the Senate. I think Ron was the only hard no as of noon today. So they only need 50, and it sounds like they're going to get 51. Of course, then that's not done because you have a Senate version and a House version. They got to bounce it back and forth for 2 or 3 weeks.
Well, what about the people like Murkowski and Collins and, you know, McCain and all that? Rand Paul, are they going to be on board?
I am told Murkowski's on board. We got some good stuff for the Alaska people in Anwar up there, I'm told. Of the Mitch Hanks show know about.
Buying them off the buying off the votes. Oh, that's always good. It's sort of like the Cornhusker kickback,
That's why we listen to Mitch Hanks. You don't hear on the AP wire.
Well, that's wonderful to know. I didn't know the latest vote count. Well, are you going to take away the fines on Obamacare, you know, the penalty for not having insurance?
I think they're going to do it because it gives them more money to cut taxes, and I think that's what it's all about. And a lot of people are complaining, including Ron Johnson, saying, you know, we should restore this deduction, whatever, and it gives you more money to do that sort of thing. I don't know.
If they don't fine you, how does that mean they have less money? I'm trying to figure this one out.
Well, I think what they mean is by removing the individual mandate, I think in the long run it's going to cause Obamacare to cost less, so we're spending less money.
Well, that's a sore point for a lot of people. You know, if you're getting subsidized now, you love Obamacare, and you're enjoying it. If you don't qualify for subsidy, you hate it. I mean, that's the bottom line. And you're paying the penalty. You hate that. You're young and all that. But in any event, what about Roy Moore? You've always been a social conservative, and obviously these are salacious charges, and five different women, by the way, and, you know, I mean, plus now you have stuff from mall cops and assistant DAs who talk about Roy dating the high school girls. I mean, there's a lot of stuff building in this. Kind of unseen.
Right, I don't really keep up to it on a day-by-day basis. We're spending a lot of time focusing on tax. I talked to one of the Alabama legislators today, and he thought Roy was going to win.
Well, he may win, but the question is if they're going to expel him after he wins. I mean, you've got Cory Gardner already saying that, the head of the Senate campaign committee.
Well, it'd be interesting thing if he gets in there. And it's interesting the reaction of the Alabama people, you know, because I'll agree with you in the sense we have that many women out there, you know, it's kind of hard to imagine they're all making it up. But apparently the Alabama people are willing to say that. And
well,
came out on there. I don't know if this is true, that who's the current the incumbent down there?
Lester Strange or Luther Strange?
Luther Strange.
Yeah.
Apparently, it came out in Alabama. I don't know if this is true, but a congressman told me this that the Strange people poked around, and they didn't use this because they didn't think they had enough credible evidence to prove it. So I don't know if that's true.
Apparently
the Alabama people, your average voter, is I don't know. So. I think it's very interesting, and if he gets elected, it says something about the degree to which so many voters just are not going to believe anything on the AP wire.
Well, they only believe it when they accuse Bill Clinton. They don't believe things when they accuse Roy Moore. I mean, that's what we believe accusers against the other side. That's what happens, you know. Conservatives believe the stuff about Teddy Kennedy and JFK and Bill Clinton, but they don't believe stuff against Bill O'Reilly and
I don't know many
Roger Ailes
up here who don't think something's wrong down there in Alabama. I think most people.
Well, you know what? He didn't say they didn't date teenage girls. That's where you know. Hannity interviewed him, and did you date teenage girls? He said not as a general rule. And I never dated a girl unless I got permission from her mother. Well, guess what, Congressman? When you're 32, you don't want to get permission from a mother to date somebody. Chances are that means the girl's too young. Anyway, I'm sorry. But you, of course, you're above the fray. You remain above the fray, and you've always been a perfect gentleman.
Right.
So there you have it. Well, we'll watch the text vote tomorrow. Your buddy Jim Jordan, I thought it was pretty cool. He didn't have his sport coat on when he was questioning Jeff Sessions. But this Uranium One thing apparently is not the best stuff for them. I don't know why they're hanging their hats on Uranium One. They've got all kinds of other stuff that's better. But I'm not running the show, so. You don't think it's going to. What do you think about the call from your colleagues, Jim Jordan? Who's the guy from Pensacola? They want Sessions and somebody to set up a special counsel. By the way, we have 90,000 employees in the Department of Justice. How come somebody in the Department of Justice can't investigate something?
I don't know. I don't know what's going on there. I wish they were being a little more aggressive. I do.
Well, but we always had to have a special counsel. So my question is, why don't we pay 90,000 employees? You know. Anyway, Congressman Grothman, we thank you very much. And
Yep, check in when the dust settles on this tax thing. Because the one thing I'll leave your listeners with, to this point, you hear all these people saying it's horrible and all these people saying it's wonderful. First of all, I believe if you're from Wisconsin, your tax cut, you're much more likely to get a tax cut if you're making 50 grand a year than making 200 grand a year.
All right.
And secondly, nobody knew what was in this thing. Less than a dozen people, I bet, knew what was in this thing 2 weeks ago. So anybody who was saying positive or negative things up to that point were speaking out of ignorance.
They know not what they say. Thank you, Congressman. We appreciate it very much. All right, take care. We'll talk again. More on the Roy Moore thing. I'm going to play the Sean Hannity stuff for some of that. And your calls as well on The Mitch Hanks Show on MadisonTalks.com and Facebook Live.
Joe here from Comedy on State. Hey, looking for something different to do with your friends? You got friends in town, maybe you're celebrating something. Comedy on State is a thing that you want to think of. It should be at least the third thing that pops into your mind. MadisonComedy.com is where you can go to find a complete schedule. Any comics that you could think of, we've had.
For a list of upcoming Comedy Club performers or to purchase tickets, go to MadisonComedyClub.com and click shows. Performer bios are available by clicking on their pictures.
That's Comedy on State, MadisonComedy.com or 256-0099.
In real estate, you want to work with Tim Rail.
Tim had a plan whether we should look at a new house, an older style house, and right away he knew what we were looking for and what would be in our best interest.
Let's get ink on paper today with Realtor Tim Rail of Coldwell Banker Success, 698-7653.
He was jolly, good-natured, and so thoughtful, and he's charismatic as well.
Tim Rail, 698-7653.
This is the all-new Mitch Hanks Show.
At P3 Pro, we're invested in creating a dynamic video experience for our clients. Everything from planning, shooting, and editing your events, commercials, webcasts, or films. P3 Pro has 27 years of industry standard experience working to make your vision a reality. We stand apart from your traditional run-of-the-mill production experience and create memorable, moving, breathtaking imagery that conveys your message in a powerful way. We take your vision and turn it into a work of art. The art of storytelling, the art of beautifully crafted imagery, the art of persuasion. Visit us on the web at p3pro.xyz or call 608-571-3776. That's 608-571-3776.
6 AM Marketing is a Wisconsin-based ad agency that doesn't look or act like other ad agencies. They don't follow conventional thinking and constantly push themselves and their clients to test the bounds of how far they can go. The result is relationships that have lasted more than 10 years. Clients refer to 6 AM and their work as fresh, insightful, strategic, edgy, and creative. 6 AM shows customers why your products and services are better than the competition. 6 AM's brand smart process helps you establish your brand in the market for years to come. With a client's marketing team by its side, 6 AM digs for the business problem the client is trying to solve and the business goals and objectives they hope to achieve, examining the market, competitors, the brand's consumers, and messaging to define a brand proposition that is both compelling and unique to the market. 6 AM Marketing. They do it differently, and they do it well. Go to 6ammarketing.com. That's www.6ammarketing.com.
Welcome back to the Mitch Hanks Show. Mitch seeks the truth by inviting all sides of the issue. Thanks for listening to The Mitch Hanks Show.
We're back at The Mitch Hanks Show on MadisonTalks.com. Go there. See, you can hear all our podcasts. We have all kinds of people doing podcasts on there. It's really exciting stuff. And on Facebook Live, of course, we appreciate your live usage here tonight. Willie is on the line. Willie, who probably wants to weigh in on Roy Moore. Hello, Willie. No? Oh, no, no, he was, that's right, he wasn't, you're correct. He was the Chief Justice, well, he was the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court.
Because of his rampant theocracy.
Yeah, well, he was the Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court. That now, it comes to me now, yeah. Yes, he was. So you're quite right in correcting me on that, yeah. Well, yeah, he refused the order to remove the monuments, so or the Ten Commandments, so they got rid of them. Yeah, they just. You don't have to jump on. It's like you're. What are you doing? Piling on? You're piling on right now, but I understand the need to, you know. Yeah. Yeah, Glenn Grothman, sure. Oh, that's right. Well, you know, the whole media thing was kind of a hot topic, so, you know. Well, do you believe accusers of left-wing sexual predators or just right-wingers? Mm-hmm. No. Well, because she signed an affidavit recanting at one point. She claims under duress, but yeah, I mean, legally she had recanted through an affidavit, yeah. Well, there were problems with Juanita. It was back in 78. She had since flip-flopped on a few documents. So, yeah, it was unreliable stuff. Why would you use that if you're a lawyer? I mean, Hey, I interviewed Kathleen Willey, and I believed her, so I'm going to tell you, you know. Against Roy? Yeah. I was a teenager. I was 17 for most of that year. Turned 18 in November. So. Mm-hmm. Well, in Alabama, the age is 16, and you heard the former assistant DA say, oh, we all knew that Roy liked the high school girls. So I mean, two of the women in question were minors, allegedly, but three were legal. Right, I understand what you're saying. Yes, yes, well. Possibly. We've had our share of priests, haven't we? But every time you mention that, I get hate mail from Catholics. I'll never listen again. Well, you know, what can I tell you? You know, watch that. Well, the Pope, the current Pope, we don't expect him to be doing something untoward, do we? I mean, regarding... Oh, well, that, yeah. But they could marry back in the day. They changed the rules during the Middle Ages because the Catholic Church wanted to keep the land for the church because people were giving it to their kids. That's what changed it. It changed during the Middle Ages, yeah. Well, there's hypocrisy on both sides. There's whataboutism on both sides. My point is this, Willie, and you could tell me whether I'm wrong, because conservatives like Rush Limbaugh do not talk. They do not talk about Roger Ailes or Bill O'Reilly, or don't like to talk about Roy Moore, but they do talk about Bill Clinton and Ted Kennedy and Harvey Weinstein, and flip that around. My aunt went to the Million Woman March the day after the Trump election. She never went to a march against Bill Clinton. So, you know, come on. No more questions, Your Honor. They went because of the sexual stuff. Believe me, they went because they thought Trump was a crotch-grabbing slime ball. That's why they went. Well, I guess he is now, isn't he? What? Well, he wasn't until 5 years ago, but that's beside the point. Willie, thank you very much. We appreciate the call. We got Phil Anderson, Libertarian candidate for governor of this fine state, coming in here next. We've got a whole bunch of things we can talk to Phil about on the Mitch Hank Show on MadisonTalks.com.